Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Dr. Hunter's not on.
Yeah, Dr. Hunter got me out. He had to set the radio up. So we, Father God, we just thank you right now in the name of Jesus that your perfect will will be done on this radio program tonight, Father God. Father God, we bring our flesh under subjection now, Father God. In the name of Jesus, Father God, we ask you to saturate the airways, Father God. We ask you right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that you would kill off our flesh, God, and that we would give you complete control, complete rulership now in the name of Jesus. And we bless you, Father, and we thank you for doing it. In Jesus' name, hallelujah.
Yeah, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Your spirit rise, God.
Yeah, God.
Give you the glory.
give you the glory, we give you the praise. If it wasn't for the Lord, hallelujah. You know, I'm going to go ahead. I don't know where Dr. Honey is, and I don't know what's going on, but you know what? I know that he will want the word to go forth. I do know that. So, Prophetess Rose, God bless you. And welcome this evening, listening audience. Welcome out there in the radio land. You know, just attend your ear to what the Holy Spirit has to say. The word says, let the church hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say. And so we're going to give God complete rulership and authority. Now we said, Holy Spirit, you lead, you guide. And we'll take the ride. How about that? Hallelujah. That's it. We don't like taking a ride. We always like to drive. But we're going to give God rulership tonight. We're going to let him have his way.
You know,
we were talking about staying connected to the vine, you know, and that's a good place to even pick up and start off tonight, you know, until Dr. Honey get on. I don't know what God has touched his heart, you know, what he want him to do or what he want him to say, but I know that we're in our last days, you know, in our last hours. And so if we don't stay connected to the vine, we in trouble.
Yes.
Yes, sir. So.
Oh, yeah.
Prophetess Rose, is there anything that the Holy Spirit has given you on the vine? I'm going to John now, to chapter 15.
Yeah. We talk about connection. We have to stay connected. We will not get our supplements. We can't get our needs. We can't get anything. Without God, we can't grow. That's what I got on it.
Amen.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. You know, he's the water.
Yeah.
He's everything that we need to stay planted and rooted and grounded in him. He says, heaven and earth going to pass away.
Yes.
But my word, that's forever. And, you
yes.
know, we always, the scripture, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. God was the word, you know, and then he turned the word into flesh.
Yes.
We are the product. We're the product also as God turning the word into flesh. I'm like, is she? Yeah, I am so serious. Go to Romans. Chapter 8.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And we'll go back to John in just a minute, but let's go to Romans chapter 8 for just a minute. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Because I want people to understand how we were all spoken to existence just like Jesus was. You know? God handpicked Mary to birth Jesus, and God handpicked our mothers and fathers to do the same.
Yes, and Joseph being the natural. Amen. Go, prophet.
Amen. Amen. Romans chapter 8, and we're going to start at verse 29. Thank you, Lord. Verse 29, Romans chapter 8, verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also predestined. First of all, let me go back to for whom he foreknow. He foreknew us before he even predestined to conform us to be the image of his son. We are the same. We're made in the same image as his son, the same likeness. It took a woman to birth Jesus. In the flesh, it took a woman to birth us into the flesh.
Yeah.
So staying connected to the vine is very important. When you disconnect yourself from the vine, you're disconnecting yourself from everything that God says you can have. You're disconnecting yourself from your right. Your right as a child, a child of God, you're disconnecting yourself, because even in verse 17 and still in the same chapter 8, if we children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if it so be that we suffer with him, that we may all we do. My words are getting twisted up tonight. Let me slow down. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that we may be also glorified together. We are joint heirs. Adopted in by the Spirit. We talked about that today. Confessing with our mouth and believing in our heart that we may be converted and get back in to our rightful place, you know, with God, our rightful standings. And that all starts with that. It all starts with that confession, you know, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he died on the cross for each one of us and for our sins, you know, and that we're sons and daughters, those who are led by the Spirit. Those, they are called sons of God, you know, and some of us, we got to be politically correct because we say we're women, so we're sons, we're daughters of God. But it also tells us, if we go deeper into the word, even in Galatians, it tells us that we're no longer male nor female, we're spirits. So, you know, Galatians 3:28, there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. For we all are one in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Hallelujah. So even if somebody said, what that woman doing speaking? Didn't it tell us in the Bible that a woman should be quiet if she got any questions, that she better go ask her husband? But my word tells me right here that we all are as one in Christ Jesus. So that gives me the right to be an advocate for Christ, for Jesus. That gives me a right to speak out. That gives me a
Amen.
Right to be an ambassador. Hallelujah.
Yes.
That's right. That gives us a right. So people, women, speak. Speak up. Shout. Shout it loud to the rooftop. That Christ is your Lord and your Savior, and you are as one with him, as the Father. Don't let nobody continue to take you out of your place and your standards of where you at with God, because they want to look at your gender. It don't say anything about gender. It says that we are neither male nor female. Neither male nor female, for we all are one with Christ Jesus. And that takes me right back to where I want to start at. Chapter 15, John, verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husband. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that bears fruit, he purges it. And that it may bring forth more fruit. Now we are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Whoa. Did you hear that?
Amen.
If we don't even abide in him, how we can't even bear any fruit? That means we are nothing. Nothing without God. We can't produce. We can't even wake up in the morning. Only God can wake us out of that state, that sleeping state that we're in, that unconscious state that we're in. He gives us permission to wake up.
Wow. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Abide in me and I in you as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branch. He that abides in me and I in him, the same, bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, and there we go right there, there's written in the word, I said it before I read it. Without me, we cannot do anything. We can't do nothing without Christ Jesus. We need Christ Jesus,
man,
to be fruitful, to go out and plenish the land and nourish the land. I want to plant good fruit. I mean, I want to sow good seeds so good fruit can come up. You know, we talk about the name, hallelujah. We talk about the name, how important it is. You know, what is that, the McCoys and who was that always fighting? They talked about that. They're always battling. But no, don't nobody want their natural name messed up. Your father tell you as a young man, and your mother tell you, now who do you represent? When you go out this house, remember who you representing. You don't go out the house and do what you want to do. You go out the house and you represent your name, that last name that's attached to you. And that's the same thing God is telling us. I made the pathway. I made it clear. I showed y'all how to walk this out. Now, don't go out there and try to mess. You can't mess God's name up even if you want to, because you know what? You're going to be look like the foolish one. It ain't going to be God.
Amen.
It's going to be yourself. That's right. But we're representing. We are representatives of Christ. We're ambassadors. And we're supposed to take on the same characteristics. You know, it tells us in the beginning, in verse 1 and in verse 27, 26, excuse me. And God said, let us make men in our own image, after our likeness. Already, in the beginning, that's how we were made. We were already made in his image. Even though we have natural parents on this earth, that God gave them rulership and dominion, they're supposed to teach us. They're supposed to be the same way that Christ Jesus did. Christ Jesus came and made the pathway. Our parents are supposed to do the same thing. They're supposed to make the pathway. They're supposed to set the foundation. Train up a child in the way that they should go. When the older, they should not depart from it. This is the foundation. This is the solid rock that we should build anything on. I don't care what you're trying to do in life. If Christ ain't in it, it ain't going to work. It'll come crumbling down. Because your house
Amen.
Is not built on that solid rock, on that solid foundation. And that's what we have to be connected to, that solid rock, that solid foundation. It tells you right now in verse 5, without me, you can't do nothing. You can't do nothing. We can't do nothing without God, no matter how much we try. And and some people can attest to trying to start business. And so many business, so many ideas they have had, but they all fail. You're missing the most important ingredient. We cannot keep trying to do things and God ain't in it. Remember, only what we do for God is the only thing that's going to last. Heaven and earth is going to pass away. And all this other stuff, it's going to return back to the earth. Dust it was made out of, and dust it shall return back to. Even these fleshly bodies that we got, it was made out of dust, and it's going to return back to dust. It behooves each and every one of us to stay connected to the vine.
Amen.
Stay stay connected to the vine, because you're no longer male nor female. You're one with Christ Jesus, your spirit. Feed that spirit man and die to the flesh. It tells us, oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. I'm looking for a scripture, but if anybody got anything they want to add or say while I'm looking, please jump in.
Amen. I just thank you. I had a little bit, this is Brother Price. I had a little bit of a difficulty getting on earlier, but I walked right in at the best part. And I'm just so grateful for the word on being in the vine that the Lord was using you to come forth. And I think that's great. You went to John 15, and you started reading up verses 1 through 3, 2, 3, and 4. And, you know, I want to point out, you know, in verse 2 it says, he cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be more fruitful. Amen? And I just want to add to what you already said. A lot of times, you know, I think sometimes we need to understand what pruning is.
Yes.
You see, you know, a lot of times we get out and, you know, we're working for God, we're doing what he tells us to do, and we, you know, we start to bear godly fruit in our life. Things start going well and everything is in order, and we're doing what God has told us to do. But then God comes along, and that crisis of faith happens again. He starts to change in the situation and try to put us in another situation where we can bring forth more fruit and godly fruit in our lives. You know, one of the, I like the definition of prune. It says to trim a tree, a shrub, or a bush by cutting away dead or overgrown branches and stems for the purposes to increase the fruitfulness and growth. You see, in other words, what happens is that, you know, even as God is using us to do different things for him in the kingdom, there's still some things that he has to work on with us as we go along. And as we produce more godly fruit in our lives and we start to really obey him and walk forth, there's some things that he's allowed to come along with us. But then when he's ready to prune and take us to that next phase, some of that dead things, those dead things in our lives that he's allowed to come along so far, it can't go no further. You got to cut it away. Amen? And so sometimes what happens is that what he has to do is, let's say in some cases, I'll use myself as an example, sometimes it's just simple as an increase in faith in a place that you've never been as strong as in faith. And so the type of faith that you need is more than what you have now. And so God will prune that area of your life so that way that you can have that more increased faith, because, you know, the things that you may be dealing with in the next phase is going to require more fruit. And so I just glory be to God that Jesus makes this point to say that that every branch that does bear fruit, he didn't say doesn't, but does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Because, see, you know, if all the dead branches and stems in our life, you know, remain on the branch that's trying to grow, it's just going to weigh the branch down. And then the branch is going to be bent over and almost to the ground. And, see, that's not what God wants. He wants that branch to be upright and sprouting upward. You see what I'm saying? And so he's got to cut that weight off a little by little so that that same branch, you know, can produce more fruit. And again, and so that's just a great lesson that God has given us. And, you know, and I think sometimes the question can be is, well, then how do we bear this fruit? You know, we're the branches. You know, Jesus is the true vine. How do we bear this fruit? And like you said earlier, the only way we're going to bear any fruit is that we have to be in Christ. We have to be in him. We have to be in the vine. We have to be connected. But how do we bear this fruit? Well, obviously, one area is there has to be obedience. You know, In order to grow in Christ, you have to there has to be a disciplined lifestyle in Him, and that has to be obedience. I also believe, you know, some of those ways is like if you go to Psalm chapter 37, verse 3, it tells us some things of how and some ways that we can bear more fruit in Him. In verse 3, it says, trust in the Lord and do good.
Yeah.
Amen. Trust in the Lord and do good, and dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. So we've got to trust in Him along the way. If we have issues trusting in Him, you know, then we're going to have a problem following Him. As a matter of fact, we're not going to be able to follow Him. I mean, you look time and time again in the works of Jesus Christ in the Gospels. Jesus was moved by compassion, but He was also moved by faith, faith. You know, so sometimes if we have issues trusting, we need to be like the Father when He asked Jesus, He said, if you could. And said, Jesus said back to Him, said, if I could. He said, you know, I can do anything for He that believes. And sometimes if we have that lack of faith, we need to say, so Lord, you know, I do have faith, but help me with my unbelief so I can trust in You. Amen. You know, because if we don't have faith, if we have a problem struggling, then we're going to have a hard time staying in the vine. Verse 4 says, take delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Okay, so we trust in the Lord, and we take delight in the Lord. And see, when I hear the word delight, what I hear is relationship is what I hear. In other words, when you're dating someone, to learn someone, to know someone, you have to delight in them. How do you delight in them? You have to spend time with them.
Come on.
You have to figure out what they like and what they don't like. What are the things that concern, and what are the things that brings them joy? What are the things that break their heart? What things that just give them just a happiness? You have to be in relationship with them. And when you're in relationship with them, you delight in them. You know what I mean? When I first started dating my wife, all I want to do is spend time with her, and that was because I wanted to be in relationship with her. And see, that's why He's saying this as a second part. We trust in Him, but we have to delight in the Lord. And He will give us the desires of our heart. But see, a lot of times when people, they hone in, they zero in on He will give you the desires of your heart. But they stop right there. See, if we keep moving on to verse 5, it says, commit your way to the Lord. Amen. Yeah. Commit. So we need to read all of it. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will do this. See, a lot of times we get saved, we want to do for God, but we want to do for God what we want to offer. What we want to offer to Him, and not what He's calling us to offer to Him. Amen? You know, we want to take the situation and we want to change it, and, you know, this is what I want to do for the Lord. But what happens is that we keep forgetting that, you know, Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. We're not the vine and He's the branch. And
that's
see, so the source of our provisions, that also means guidance, wisdom, direction that God gives us comes from the vine. Amen.
Yeah.
It comes from the vine. So if all our provisions, everything we need to produce good fruit in our lives comes from the vine, it doesn't come from us. And so, again, we have to trust in Him. We have to delight in Him. And we have to commit our ways to the Lord. And, you know, and I want to make one last point about another point of staying in the vine. Is there's a very popular scripture in Matthew. If you go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33.
Yes.
And it's very popular. And it says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Okay,
yeah.
And so a lot of times people say, well, you know, God's going to give me desires in my heart. But, you know, we have to read all the scriptures. You see, it says, beseech ye first the kingdom of God. So in other words, there is nothing wrong with us wanting better for our lives. There is nothing wrong with us wanting the best. God wants the best for us. But see, if Jesus is divine and we are the branches, that we have to remember, we have to first walk away from self. We have to walk away from self and walk to him. Amen. To be saved, you know, Jesus said, if any man shall follow me, he must first deny himself.
Yes.
What does deny mean? It means turn away from ourselves and what we want and embrace what God's want. And see, I don't know about you, but I'm, you know, when it says, you know, God will give you the desires of your heart, I firmly believe when you seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness is what it says.
Yes.
I believe that your desires change.
Yes.
They
yes.
change.
Come on.
See, they want to see, not the desires they started out to be, but see, when you start seeking first the kingdom of God, then you're going to start producing godly fruit. You're going to start desiring what he desires. You're going to, your heart is going to start breaking for what his heart breaks for, and your desires change. Amen. Amen. And so I firmly believe, you know, yes, Jesus is divine, and we are the branches. But to produce godly fruit, we have to trust him. To produce godly fruit, we have to delight in him. We have to enjoy. See, you know, in the beginning, and I have a testimony, when I first started reading the Bible every day and stuff like that, it was out of obligation. You know, because the Lord told me, I want you to read the Bible every day, reading it so I can feed you every day. And in the beginning, I said, well, I got to do this. But see, after a while, it was not so much about an obligation, but because he was so, as a matter of fact, I was a branch, and I started to allow him to feed me his instructions so I could grow fruit. It wasn't an obligation. Then it became, I need to read. I have to, it don't matter. Whatever's going on today, I'm going to take a break to read, because not because he's taught me to, but because we love him.
Yes.
We love him. Amen. And so I just thank you. Again, trust in him, delight in him, and thirdly, we have to commit our ways to him.
Yes.
And when we do that by seeking you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all the things will be added unto us. And glory be to God. Amen.
Amen. Amen. This is Brother Jason, right?
Yes, ma'am. Brother Jason. Yes, ma'am.
Amen. God bless you.
You too.
I always enjoy you, I tell you. I tell you, when I listen to you, I hear the love. I hear the relationship. I hear the connection. I know that you're connected to the vine, and it does my soul good. I tell you, it makes my soul rejoice. I'm telling you, when I say my baby be leaping, my baby be leaping. And that's the effect that we're supposed to be having in the kingdom of God. You know, and I like that you went to Psalms 37 and you talk about delighting ourselves, because it does. Our desires, it does change, because what we want to do now is what's pleasing to the Father. You know, he told us to go out there and make disciples of all nations. You want to do that. You know, you want to go out and cast out demons and devils and heal the sick. You want to do that. You know, because that's what's pleasing to the Father. You know, that's
Amen.
The Father's will, that none shall perish. You know, so that's your desires. You know, all the other stuff that be added, all well and good, but it's not important. You know what I get to all added unto me? This is what God is adding to me, Jason. This is my own personal testimony.
Amen.
More wisdom, more knowledge, more understanding. See, that's an add-on, too, that I love, you know, because you know what? All that other stuff, because of the wisdom and the knowledge that he's given me, I can never attain that stuff. But I'd rather do what's pleasing to the Father first. He'll take care of whatever my desires is. I told somebody today, matter of fact, I was in the DMV today, and I told the lady today, I said, you know, I was talking about how God, when you sow a seed, it's got to go in the ground. I've been out of work for 4 months. My client died 4 months ago. And when he went in the ground, guess what? I went in the ground. And people ain't going to say, what do you mean? I went in the ground. Something in me had to die off. Now it's springing forth.
Amen.
God Oh, I'll do a new thing, and it shall spring forth. Even a couple of days ago, I talked back on the resurrection. And as I finished up the message, then one of the other prophets was on the line. She was speaking, and I was writing as she was speaking, and God says, no, I said, no, he didn't say, I said, God, I thank you for the new. That's what I wrote. And she began to prophesy to me about the new. When you've been resurrected, everything about you is new. Ain't nothing old no more. Everything is dead.
Amen.
So, we used to walk, the way we used to talk, it's not anymore. We're speaking. We're delighting ourselves in God. We're trusting in God. So guess what we're doing? We're going right back to how he said we were predestined, made
Amen.
In his image, made in his likeness. So guess what? We're sons and daughters of God, and that's who we are coming forth. There's the fruit. There's the fruit. And people recognize. They recognize. People be looking at you. You ain't got to say what they're staring at. They see the glory of God. People are captivated. They are captivated to that light. Light draws people. And I'm telling you, the more and more we stay connected to the vine, the more and more we'll be transferred. We'll be transformed into his likeness, into his image, and people will recognize. And they're looking for you. They are looking for the sons and the daughters of God that has manifest on the earth. The same way Jesus manifests on the earth for us is the same thing. Remember greater works? Greater works we must do. If we believe, that he done greater works, he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, if he believe in me and the works that I shall do also, and greater works than shall you do also, because I'm now what? Going to be unto the Father. We are left to pick up the assignment where Jesus left off at.
Amen.
I bless the Lord for the work, and I don't know if Dr. Hunter made it on the line yet or not. Jason, if God gave you more, please continue. Please continue.
Yes, I also had a little bit of a struggle getting on a little earlier as well, so that it may be a small issue with the line, but you're absolutely right. And you know, you were talking about the old is gone and the new has come. I have at my job, we do a small group Bible study. It's kind of more of a life transformation type group where, you know, a couple of men and women get together and we talk about what God has done for us in our lives. And there's one gentleman in this group. He works at a program where there's a lot of people that come there that are trying to rehab from all sorts of types of addictions, drug addictions, alcoholism, pornography, just all these different things that they have come and they go through this 6 to 8 week program. And then in this program, it is a Christian-based program, so you have a lot of men and women of God that go just like he does and ministers to them in the gospel. And he said one of the things is one of the pastors got there when he got the first group there, and he was opening his Bible and is opening what he was going to say to them for the message. And the first thing he said to this group of folks that are there to rehab and have gone through so many different things in their life, and he said, first of all, he said, I want you to know that no one here is going to judge you. That everything that has happened to you is now behind you. It's over.
Yeah.
It's done. It's now behind you. And we serve a God moving forward is what we serve, a God of moving forward. And, you know, and so, and it's just very powerful that we serve a God that because, you know, God, Jesus is so righteous and perfect that he paid a price for us so that his righteousness, so we get to have his righteousness.
Yes.
And not our own righteousness. We get to have his righteousness. Because, you know, the Bible is very clear, our own righteousness is nothing but filthy rags before the Lord.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. Well, see, this is what it, and if you get a translation there, that's kind of like poo-poo paper almost. Okay?
Come on.
You know, this is what the word says. And so when we try to go and do all these works and you know, I'm a good this and that and all these different things, then, you know, your righteousness, that's okay. If you want to be judged by your righteousness, good luck with that. But I don't want to. I want to be covered in the blood when I'm standing before the Lord. You know, because my own righteousness is nothing but filthy rags before the Lord. However, when we become saved, there should be some godly fruit coming forth from our walk in salvation. There should be some fruit. You know, see, what happens sometimes is, and this is my firm belief, and even, you know, I've struggled with this over the years at times, and I've sat with men and men ministries, and we all go back, we go around and we talk about this, is that sometimes, you know, in Ephesians, Paul, you know, is talking about putting on the full armor of God. And one of those pieces of armor is the helmet of salvation.
Yes.
But see, you see what happens too many times is, you know, we get saved, we put on the helmet of salvation, and we move on. But then we get tore up. You know, we don't have the breastplate of righteousness on. We have not girded our waist with the buckle of truth. We don't have our feet fitted with the readiness that comes with the gospel of peace. I mean, we don't have the shield of faith. And so the enemy looking at you like, well, I'll tell you what, yeah, you got to be saved. But you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to mess all this up. Yeah, you may be saved, but you're going to be pretty beat up before it's over.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But in order for the armor to go on, there must be godly fruit. We must be in it. But like, see, here's the key that we miss sometimes. And even I miss it. Took me a while to get it. And I had this. The Lord gave me the aha moment, the connection between divine scripture and the armor. You see, a weapon is only as good as a person that knows how to use it.
Come on, come on, come on, come on.
But see, to use them, there must be training. There must be practice. Amen. You know, I remember, I'll use this as an example. You know, one of the armors that's on there is the power of prayer. Because, see, matter of fact, I would always argue that the power of prayer is almost an offensive weapon. Okay, we can go on the offense on that one. But I remember when I first started out, and, you know, I loved to read the word, but I wasn't much into praying. I didn't feel like I knew how to pray. And there were some women in our church, man. You talking about praying in the Holy Ghost tongue. I mean, these folks could bring down the glory. I mean, Lord, it was just, and I was like, man, Lord, I don't know if I know how to pray like that. And so anyway, for months they would do corporate prayer at the church. This is when we were in Germany, to do corporate prayer. And I didn't always have time to go to corporate prayer, but the Lord started saying, I want you to go to corporate prayer. I said, well, Lord, can I just read the word and, and the Lord was like, well, and he said, well, you know, when I put you up, I want you to be a proven works, able to use everything.
Yeah.
And I said, well, Lord, after keeping it in my mind and I actually saying, because sometimes, see, the Lord knows what condition you're in, even if you don't say it, but it's something about confessing it. I struggle before him. There's something about the power in that. Because, see, when you confess in a shortcoming, then you're in a humble state. There's humility.
Yeah.
It takes humility to do that. You see, when you're proud, then you're just going to keep that in. But finally, I came out of pride, and I said, Lord, I don't know how to pray. And the Lord, you know, me and him joke sometimes. He said, well, Lord was like, well, I heard that one before. He said, when you pray, he said, if you want to know how to pray, then you must practice praying.
Yes.
You must go pray.
Yeah.
You know, and so, in other words, if a child, there's a toddler that wants to know how to learn to walk, she must get up and start trying to take steps.
Yes.
You might fall, but you ain't never going to learn how to walk if you don't get up and start trying to take steps. And so I went, and I got there, and I started going, and before I knew it, that was the highlight of my week. You know, I would go there, and we would pray, and we'd pray, and we'd pray. And even though I'm not the best speaker, I'm not the best preacher, and not the best prayer, but what I learned was because in those prayers, my heart was right before
Come
the Lord.
On.
Those prayers were received, and those prayers were powerful. For the prayer of a righteous man availeth much, is what the word says. And so I had to, you know, you have to learn how to pray. You have to learn how to preach this gospel. You have to learn how to use this wisdom, how to use this, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Learn. You have to practice these things. Yes. And see, when you practice using your weapons, then you're ready when the enemy comes. You're ready when the enemy comes. You're ready when it comes. You have it all on, you know.
Amen.
And so, but in order to know how to use them, we got to be in the vine, because the instructions come from the one who is the vine, the true vine, and that's Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. I tell you, Jason, if I didn't know that you had the Holy Spirit, I'd tell you, you was on the noonday call with us and you listened to everything we said, because you done repeated back. So I thank God for your Holy Ghost, man, because you're truly in tune, because we truly talked about putting on the whole armor of God. And I know Prophetess Rose is on this line, and you got to say something. We don't have much time, because we're running out. The time is drawing near. But I tell you, we talked about that. And we talked about, you know, people that they will walk around with the army fatigue zone, but they ain't been in nobody's service. And God showed us that it's a part of godliness. You know, so come on in, Prophetess Rose, and share about what God gave you today, because this is good.
Well, praise the Lord. I just want to say thank God for the word, too, and even the delight in ourselves in Christ. That's what we have to do. If we're not delighted in him, then he's not delighted in us either, because he already delights in his own self. He don't need us to praise him, but if we choose to, then it's good for God, but because he gave us a choice. But today we were talking about the infiltration in the camp, you know, how people can put on, you can put on your armor, but are you infiltrated? Are you coming on with the right spirit? You know, and God has not given me the same. He doesn't give us the same. He gives us new over and over again. So, we were talking about was the infiltration in the camp. The many have the armor on, you know, they say they put it on, and they're not producing any fruits. They're spies in the army, in the camp, you know. They're spies in the land. There's people that's saying they have this godliness, but they deny the power. There's people that's calling, say, and it's funny, you even talk about filthy rags. Filthy rags is the church of God bleeding out. We're all bleeding out. If you don't bleed out, what's happening is they're bleeding out, but they're bleeding out to their death. But Jesus came to fill our hearts with to supply the blood. But if there's no place to put the blood, then how can the blood be applied? You know, and that's what God was asking us. We're bleeding out, and it's critical. The houses of God is critical to the land right now. But we they're infiltrators in the camp. People are going out. They're just coming in for a quick fix. And they got on the army, and we're saying, oh, yeah, they got our armor on. They got on the fatigue, and they got on all this, but they don't have the power. Right now we're supposed to be receiving the glory of God, where we can become light for the people of God. But a lot of the body of Christ, we have to even go to ourselves and say, are we delighting ourselves in Christ? You know, we have to look. How can you? It's funny when you were talking about delighting ourselves, and he says a delight is a treat, you know, if we look at it in the food section.
Amen.
And whoever is given the more treats, isn't that what we do? We say, not even trick or treat, we bind it and we break every curse today that Halloween is coming up, and we cast it back down.
Amen.
To the pits of hell. But when a store is advertising, they say, come in and get your treat. Don't if somebody said they were giving you a double treat, you said, oh yeah, that sure sounds good. Like McDonald's, they doubled their fries, they doubled everything. Now think about if we're going to get an ice cream, and they said, I give you 2 for 1, and you said, and most people will go for the three scoops. God began to talk to me, giving me He started giving me a sermon on delighting ourselves about ice cream. You know, how if we were going to McDonald's or any of these places and they're offering a greater value for the same amount, the same price, wouldn't we go for that? So why aren't we delighting ourselves and running to our dessert, running to our, this is the last course. This is the last course. There's no more course after this. People don't even get it today. Wow, that's good, Father God. This is the last course. End with dessert. We start with milk. You know, we start with a drink. If the server comes to your table and says, can I offer you a drink before dinner? Some people order alcohol. There's different choices to different. Some people want a ginger ale. Some just want water. You know, and then we go on to the menu, and we move on up, and we have our meat. They're not there. And then the last course is what? It is the ice cream, the sweets, and we delight ourselves in that. And that's what God is trying to tell us. He is the last course. And why does God have to be the Bible says he is the first and the last.
Yeah.
I thank you, God. He changed it up from the Shada. I cannot say how that was Shada.
Yeah.
I said, changes it up, oh, say it. But he's saying, say it to the church of God. Say it to the body of Christ. How is it that we take the last course and we don't even want the last course? We haven't even delighted. This is the last leg we're on. We're on the finishing stretch. And God began to say, oh, can't you see what's happening to the earth? People are firing off at the earth. The mountains are falling into the sea. The ice glaciers are breaking. The dams, people that build their house upon, they didn't build it on a rock, or else it would be sliding down into the water. Things are happening, and we are not even seeing it. That's what God is saying.
Amen. I want to touch a little bit on that right there, you know, and I have to go back to that scripture. Delight themselves also in the Lord.
Yes.
First of all, even if you go and you want to go straight to the dessert.
Yes.
If you ain't commit your ways unto the Lord and you ain't trusting in the Lord, then it ain't coming to pass. You can eat the dessert all you want to. And see, that's what a lot of people do. They come to God,
amen.
Lord, can I get this? Lord, can I get that? And so forth. And that was a scripture that I was looking for. And it was talking about, you know, we're delighting ourselves in the things of the world. You know,
well,
he says, if you're a friend, if you are the world, you ain't no friend of mine.
That's it.
That's what the word of God, whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. So if you're a friend of the world, guess what? What have you asked? Because if you go back up, and this is in James chapter 4, if you go back up, whatever you ask, you should not receive it because you're asking amiss. Asking it amiss.
Amen.
Amen. We can delight ourselves. We can go to the final course, you know, get the final dessert. Go get the dessert. But you know what? It's only for that second. It's only, you're only enjoying your pleasure for a second. You know, you're tossing it. Oh, good. It's real good, but that's it. You ain't going to get the after effect. You know, you get a good dessert, man. What you do start talking about the dessert? Man, you got to try this vanilla bean pie. You're going to tell somebody about it, and you're going to keep on spreading it, and then they're going to taste this pie, and they're going to say, ooh, yeah, you got to taste this pie. This pie is good. That's the after effect, because you're delighting yourself in God, so you're going and you're spreading it. We're being fruitful now.
Yes.
And that's what we got to do. This thing got to be good to us, and it's so good that we got to offer it up, just like you said, a dessert. You said ice cream, and I chose a pie. But you know what? Ice cream and pie go together.
But remember, when we were children, our parents, the first thing, what did they used to say? We have to go back to God as a child and in a childlike mind. And if you remember back, dessert did not come before dinner.
He says,
I can't give you no ice cream till you finish your dinner. But, Mama, I don't want the broccoli. But, baby, the broccoli is good for you, because most of us didn't grow up with mamas or daddies. So he's saying, here we are. As we don't go back to him as children. We come like we think we know it all, and we can say it all, and we can do it all. He said, we're like filthy rags. Filthy rags don't be not to sit up in the houses of God. Because those are they're disposable. They're supposed to be. And man of God, we can't even go into what God is giving for the women.
Amen.
And some men are just the same way. That we're like filthy rag. And he says, and Prophet was reading something earlier. She said that we are. There's no gender. We're all one. So God's not judging the man or the female because we're all one. There's no gender. There's no gender when it comes to the spirit realm. I don't need a body anymore. After this, he don't need a body to use anymore. So whatever he's going to do, say, do it through me.
Amen.
Whatever God is going to do, we need to receive this today. Say, do it through me.
Amen.
There's no second chance. Oh, they said, oh, God is the God of a third chance. Okay, so when we move on up, what is he going to do? Send us down here for another second chance and a third chance? Once we get there to the destination of the mark of the high calling, that is it. There's nowhere else to go. Where that's it. But we will receive, because God is not a God that he shall lie. You see? So whatever he says he's going to do when we get there, he's going to do it.
Amen. We got 3 minutes left. We got 3 minutes left, and I do apologize for whatever reason why Dr. Hunter could not get on tonight. But we do want to acknowledge him, and we do want to acknowledge KSK radio station. And God bless you, Jason, once again for coming on and sharing. And I know that you're going to be a part of this. And I just look forward to what God is doing in you, through you, and for the people of God. And Prophetess Rose, also, God bless you. Thank you also.
Thank you, woman of God.
For your input tonight. Continue to be that willing vessel. And I do receive, you know, God, whatever you need to do in this hour, this moment, Father. We are willing vessels, and I'm willing to be used. A lot of people won't confess that because they don't know what God would have them to do. But if we be sons and daughters of God, we no longer walk in the flesh, we walk in the spirit. So therefore, we should do what's pleasing to the will of our Father. So I just give God the glory and the praise. And we got 2 minutes left. And Jason, if you could pray us out and pray for the people as you pray out. God bless you. God bless you. As Dr. Hunter always say, I love you. I love you. I love you. And I said for myself, I love you. I love you. I love you. God bless.
We pray for
Amen.
Dr.
Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time of worship and praise, and fellowship and in your word. Because truly,
God.
Speaking your word, delighting in you, Lord, is worship and praise. Amen. And, Lord, we just thank you, Lord. Lord, we just want to send a prayer out for all those that are out there listening, Lord, that may be maybe they're struggling with their salvation, or maybe they're not saved at all, and they've called in, they're listening to this, Lord. And I just pray for us as believers, as we listen to this, that we be like Philip. Would be like Philip when Philip went to Nathanael to tell him that we have found the one that Moses wrote about in the law, Jesus of Nazareth. And Nathanael said, can anything good come from there? And Philip's response was, come and see. Come and see.
Yeah.
Amen. And I just encourage you, you know, if you're struggling with your salvation or if you're not saved, come and see. And you will find out if you just test and know that he is true. In the name of Jesus, Lord, not only will you experience an abundant life in him, but you will see even greater things than you could ever imagine, because he is who he says he is, and what he said he would do in his word, he is going to do. And we just thank you and we honor and we glorify you, Lord. We pray this prayer in Jesus' name.
That's
amen.
Right. Amen.
God bless you all.
God bless you all.